I believe what the Bible says about God's sovereignty, and that He gives a man the will to choose to believe. But where the two meet, I don't know, nor claim to understand. I only know what happened to this man. Well, I recall the day when I cried out to Him. I said, please help me, Jesus, I'm drowning in my sin. It was a desperate situation I'd found myself in. But His loving grace saved this child that was lost, and He did it all at the cross. When you accept His gift of love, you don't have to do it twice. Jesus was the Father's perfect sacrifice, not like those priests that do it over again. Once and for all your sins are washed, and He did it all at the cross. In the loving arms of Jesus, that's the place where I will be. When life on earth is over, reach my final destiny. Saved from the lake of fire throughout eternity. For my sins He paid the cost, and He did it all at the cross. When you accept His gift of love, you don't have to do it twice. Jesus was the Father's perfect sacrifice, not like those priests that do it over again. Once and for all your sins are washed, and He did it all at the cross. I'm here to tell you, Jesus did it all at the cross.
Thank you so much, Ray, for that good testimony. What an encouraging song. Jesus said, "Come to me and learn of me." And our Sunday morning messages from the four Gospels is designed for that purpose, not just to have sermons, but to learn of Jesus, to learn about Him, to know Him better. I hope that's the desire and the prayer of everyone in this place today, to learn about Jesus. Look at your Bible, please, at John chapter 1, as we continue to move through this study of His life. The chronological order of the life of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. I want you to look, please, at several verses at the beginning. We'll be actually looking at the text, John 1, 35 to 51. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's one of the major statements of our Bible concerning Jesus. He's the Lamb of God, and the instruction of the Scriptures is to behold, fasten your eyes, your attention, on this person who's the Lamb of God. Today I want for us to consider the theme, changed forever. This is a message for those who become believers in Jesus, who've looked at Jesus as the Lamb of God and become believers, have been saved. Friends, to understand the supernatural change accomplished in us by the Holy Spirit, We need to study our heart. We need to study our spirit. You're familiar with the fact that the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Or Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 10. He said, we are now the workmanship of God. God has done something very special in our life, and we are God's workmanship. Or as he said when he wrote to Titus, we've experienced the washing of regeneration. That term refers to everyone who's become a believer, who's looked at Jesus, believed him, and trusted him. You've experienced the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, let me explain this morning at the beginning of our message, friends. The reality is this: conversion and new birth do not change our physical body. When we're born again, when we're converted to Christ, when we become believers, our body is not changed. And also, the scripture indicates that when we're converted and born again, our soul is not changed. Man is a three-part being: body, soul, and spirit. And your body was not born again, and your soul was not born again. But the part of us that was born again is our spirit. Jesus said, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And it's so important to notice that distinction, because sometimes we get disappointed because we have the same temperament, the same personality, the same emotions, the same feelings that we had before we were saved, and we wonder, why doesn't that change? Friends, it's important today when we come to this text and see an example of four men who are changed forever to realize it's the spirit of a man, or you might say his heart, the spirit of man that's born again. Jesus' encounter with Andrew and then Simon Peter and Philip and Nathanael, four men who became his apostles, demonstrates the personal transformation or the change of human sinners when they believe, when they receive God's Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to these verses. You need not turn to this, but the Apostle John talks about this when he made this statement. He said, Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That is, the people of Israel did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And then what happened? When you made that choice to receive Christ, really what happened? Listen to this comment by the Apostle John. You were born. You experienced a new birth when you received Christ. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, every person today who's listening to this part of God's Word, who has made the choice to behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, and made the choice to be converted to Christ and believe in Him, when you believed in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you experienced this awesome change. You were born of God. That's supernatural. It's not spectacular necessarily. It's not sensational, but it's supernatural. And every one of us in this room who came to that place of believing Jesus was born of God. That's the new birth. That's the change that we're looking at today. Now, I'm going to take time to read a scripture from Ezekiel. And I want you to listen carefully to these words, because it's an amazing description of what the new birth is. And you need not turn to this. If you wish, you could. It's Ezekiel chapter 36. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 22, which describes the new birth, the change. Ezekiel chapter 36, listen carefully. Verse 22, therefore say to the house of Israel. Now, this is a prophecy concerning the Jewish people. Say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you profaned among the nations wherever you went. Here's a prophecy concerning the Jewish people. He said, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I'm the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from the nations. Now remember this prophecy concerning the Jewish people. God said this, I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. That's that disputed land in the Middle East right now. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Now here's the new birth that's going to happen to the Jewish people. God said, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. That's a description of the new birth, the ultimate new birth, the regeneration, the change that's going to happen to the Jewish people. They are going to experience a phenomenal transformation as individuals who ultimately will believe Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I read that example is because that's what happened to you and that's what happened to me when we were converted to Christ, when we were born again. He gave us a new heart. He put His Holy Spirit to live within us. Now, that's background and introduction to what we see in our text today in John chapter 1. And I'm going to have us look at the four men who became apostles of Jesus who experienced that kind of a change. I'm going to reverse the order. Rather than beginning with the first person, Andrew, I'm going to go to the end of chapter 1 and have you look at Nathanael first of all. And notice that Nathanael experienced a tremendous change. He became a believer. Open your Bible now to John chapter 1 and let's start at verse 45. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now watch this carefully. Here's a man named Nathanael, a Jewish man who's going to experience this transformation. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said to him, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, if you carefully evaluate that, move slowly through those statements about Nathanael's encounter, his personal encounter with Jesus, the Savior, the Lamb of God, you find out that here was a Jewish man, skeptic, unbeliever, who became a believer. On his initial encounter, this is his first meeting with Jesus, this Jewish man was converted from unbelief and skepticism to hopeful, expectant faith in Jesus. When I look at that story, I think of that famous saying, this is the first day of the rest of your life. This was the first day of the rest of Nathanael's life. It was the beginning of his lifetime, his eternal relationship with God's Son as his own personal Savior and Lord. And the obvious application is that that same thing happened to you and me when we had our initial encounter with Jesus and we became a believer. The same thing happened. We moved from skepticism and unbelief to becoming humble believers, thankful believers in Jesus on the day of our new birth. That was the first day, friends, of our faith in the Son of God. I want to remind you also this morning that the New Testament, the Bible says, every man must experience conversion. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 3, unless you're converted, you can't enter into God's kingdom. Every man must experience a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see, you cannot enter into God's kingdom. Friends, there must be a time of beginning. And this is what happened to Nathanael. Now consider this. How did it start for this Jewish man who became Jesus' apostle? How did it start? Three words. Come and see. He receives the invitation to come and see Jesus. Folks, I love the simplicity of God's saving word. Just taking God's word at face value. There's not much of that going on today in churches. I'm thinking recently of the man Rob Bell, who has written the famous book, a best-selling book, that Jesus didn't mean what he said when he warned about a lake of fire. And rather than taking God's word at face value, Rob Bell has twisted it to the destruction of many people. Isn't it so much better just to come to the Scripture? Such a great blessing to read the Scripture and take it in its clarity and its simplicity. How did this Jewish man come to life-changing, transforming faith in God's Savior Son? Friends, here's how it happened. Nathanael, come and see. Just come and see this man, Jesus, the Son of God. And that's what the Bible says is the way to become a believer. As I say that, I realize my own fleshly temptation as a preacher might be to sound impressive or fancy or clever or intellectual. But that's not God's biblical Holy Spirit way. The way for people to be saved is so simple. It's to come and see Jesus. Has that happened in your life? And notice how it was evident that he was changed. After he came and met with Jesus, he who said, "Can anything good," kind of sneeringly, "can anything good come out of Nazareth?" When he heard that Jesus was from Nazareth, and now as he's come to see Jesus, he's had this encounter with Jesus, his response from his heart, his new heart is, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In other words, his response was a bold confession about this man, Jesus. And friends, that's how it works. When someone comes to faith in Christ, the result will be that out of his heart, he begins to boldly confess that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's my personal Savior. Come and see. And then note how it was changed. His life was changed at that moment. And how did it change his life in terms of a one day at a time perspective? How did it change this man's life to become a believer? Listen to the words of Jesus. "Nathanael, from now on, you'll see greater things than these." From now on, Nathanael, you're going to see God working in your life. And Jesus referred back, when he talked to Nathanael, he referred back to the book of Genesis when Jacob was running from his brother, and Jacob fell asleep one night out in the wilderness, and he had a dream. He saw the heavens open. He saw an angel descending from where he was to heaven, a ladder, and angels descending and ascending on that ladder. And Jesus said, "Nathanael, from now on, that's how it'll be in your routine life as a believer. You're going to see amazing supernatural things. You're going to see the Son of God living and moving in your life." And so for the next 3 years, Nathanael would travel with Jesus. And routinely he would see the mighty works of Jesus happening before his own eyes. Imagine the first miracle that he saw. The day Jesus turned the water into wine at Cana. Imagine when he saw the Lord Jesus touch the eyes of blind men and they could see for the first time, or touch the lives of lepers with an incurable disease and they were made pure instantly. Or imagine how he could see Jesus call people out of their graves. Or he could speak peace to a stormy ocean when they were in the ship, fearful that they were about to be destroyed. "Nathanael, from now on, now that you become a believer, you're going to see God working." And friends, we're not living that same time of signs and miracles, but the application is still true, that after you come to believe Jesus as your Savior, you begin to see him working in your life. You see the activity of Jesus in your life. And we may not see Jesus walking on a raging storm or stilling the storm or raising the dead, but we're going to see Christ involved in our life. And I just want to remind you of one of the most awesome statements in the Bible from the lips of Jesus is he said, "I'm going to come into your life and manifest myself to you." Nathanael, you're going to see something like Jacob saw when he saw angels ascending and descending out in that wilderness. You're going to see God working in your life. And friends, that's how it works when you become a believer. You see the Lord working in your life, manifesting himself to you one day at a time. That's what we can expect. Nathanael became a Jesus believer. Secondly, Philip became a Jesus follower. Look at verse 43, please, in chapter 1 of John. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Nathanael became a Jesus believer. That's the change that took place in his heart. Philip now, on this day, became a Jesus follower. I want to make something clear this morning, folks. Perhaps it's very evident to all of us, but let me just highlight this point. We don't become saved by following Jesus. And we don't become born again by following Jesus. And we don't become new creatures. We don't experience regeneration in our heart by following Jesus. But the truth is this. When we believe Jesus, when we come to a place where we believe the Lamb of God and we trust him for our salvation, the inevitable change is that from that time of conversion and new birth, we become dependent, trusting followers of our Savior Lord. That becomes our heart choice. That's a result of believing Christ. We want to follow Christ. Remember back a while when the young people used to wear those little bracelets, WWJD? What would Jesus do? For a while I was a little concerned about that because I thought it implied that you become a Christian by doing what Jesus did. But that's not the meaning of the Scriptures. When you become a believer in Jesus, the change that happens in your heart is from now on, step by step, you want to follow Jesus. Following Jesus becomes your heart desire. I emphasize that word heart. Let me show it to you from the words of Jesus. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 7 and just notice this example that Jesus gives. When you become a believer, you become a follower of Jesus. Your life changes. Mark 7. Would you look at verse 21? For from within, out of the heart, I'm reading this text because Jesus is talking about the heart, the spirit that God changes when you're saved. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now, Jesus is pointing out that a lost person, in his heart, in his spirit, he doesn't follow Jesus. When a Jesus believer studies this commentary that we've just read in Mark chapter 7, when you read that as a believer, when I read it as a believer, our heart is repelled by the sins that Jesus listed. Because deep inside, as believers in Christ, our heart rejects these kind of things, and we have a longing, a thirst for Jesus himself. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, we're like running a race, and our mind is set on the goal, and that goal is Jesus. Our heart wants to follow Jesus. When you read Mark chapter 7, the verses we've just read, you know, if you're honest this morning, you know that your flesh lust for some of these same things. The sin beast within you lusts for those things. But the difference is, in your heart, you have a longing to follow Jesus, step by step. Listen to these statements. I'll read them. You don't need to turn to them, but just listen. It's about following. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's the way for a new believer. We follow Jesus. John chapter 10, he said this, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." That's the change that happens in a heart, a man's heart, his spirit, when he's saved. Another statement from Jesus, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Simon Peter put it in these words. He said, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Folks, the point the Scripture is making, I want to highlight today, is that when Philip met Jesus, when he had this conversion encounter with Jesus, Philip became a follower that was a result of becoming a believer, that was a result of his conversion. You probably remember also the statement in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee and he spoke to two of the men, two of his disciples. He cried out across the waters. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible says immediately they left their nets and their boats and they followed Jesus. At that precise moment, those Jewish men made a resolute heart choice to believe. And the result of believing Jesus is they became followers. When you've read that passage, did you notice they didn't call a committee meeting to discuss the call that Jesus gave to them? They made a personal, definite choice. They didn't study their checkbook to see if they had adequate money to become disciples of Christ. They didn't even go back and consult with their business partners or with their father. When Jesus said, "Follow me," because they became believers, they followed him. What would Jesus do? That's the desire, that's the heart, the spirit of every person who's been born again. I'm going to tell a personal illustration. I hesitate to do these because I'm not trying to bring attention to myself, but when I typed these notes and studied for this message, I remember back years ago when I was maybe 17 or 18, teenager, and I was in a religious meeting in our town because my parents wanted me to go. It was in the Park Rapids, Minnesota Armory, and it was packed with people. The special program was taking place, and a powerful evangelist was there. And at that time, Jesus Christ was not important in my thinking. In my life, I was living like the rest of the world, like the rest of the young people. But I never will forget that night when that preacher stood up, and at the end of his message, he said, "I'm going to put all of you who are here tonight," and it was mainly young people, "on the spot. He said, if you love Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet." And there was no indication in my life I love Christ. My walk did not show that. But I was so stirred in my heart, I knew I loved him. I knew in my heart I loved Christ. And in spite of the fact that my friends, my worldly drinking, smoking friends around there knew what kind of life I was living, I had to stand on my feet that night. Not many did, and admit that I love Jesus Christ, because that was in my heart, even though my life wasn't showing it. And the point this morning, dear friends, all of us need to look at when we look at a guy like Philip becoming a believer and then following Jesus. In your heart this morning, do you have that desire to follow Jesus? That's the evidence that you're saved, you're converted to Christ. The third man is Simon Peter. I want you to look at Simon Peter in verse 35. Nathanael became a believer. Philip became a follower, a Jesus follower. And Simon Peter became a stone. Let's look at this at verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "Teacher, where are you going? Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now, it was about the 10th hour. One of the two disciples who heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, look at this change that's going to happen to this man. "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Simon Peter, on that day of his conversion to Jesus, became a solid stone, or that was the prediction that Jesus gave for his life. Let's stop and think about that for a moment. Suppose today that God's Savior Son, who is the steadfast rock of God's saving gospel, suppose he met you face to face and he said to you, "Richard W. Krenz," or he call you by your name, "you shall be called a stone, rock." Now, interesting thing about this text that we just read is that the verb that Jesus used refers to a future time in Peter's life. It's a prophetic statement. Note very carefully, Jesus didn't say, "Peter, you are a stone, you are a rock." Because, folks, the Bible tells us at that time, Simon Peter, at the time of his first encounter with Jesus, he was not a stone, he was shifting quicksand. But Jesus is predicting that he will cause this man, Simon Peter, this wavering, weak, fearful man, to become solid. He'll become secure. He'll become as steadfast as a stone. Now, from the time of the first meeting with the Lord until the time of the resurrection of Jesus, that's 3 years when he was with Jesus, Simon Peter was not a stone. He was wavering. And Jesus is pronouncing the awesome change that's going to happen. Your heart, your life is going to be changed. Now, let me just mention two things about that. Did you notice this? It said Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at Simon Peter. Can you see that scene when the Lamb of God, this 33-year-old Jewish man, looks at Simon Peter, who may even have been in his late teens, and he looked at him. Jesus knew him thoroughly. And Jesus knew he was wavering. He was changeable. He was like the waters of the Sea of Galilee. At that moment, Jesus knew what Peter was on the inside. He looked at the outside, but he knew what Peter was on the inside. And so often Peter would speak bold words, words that were rash and forceful and boasting, but his heart was wobbly and shaky. When Jesus described a man who builds his house on the sand, we looked at that Thursday in our Bible study, Thursday night. He said that house is going to fall. He's talking about Simon Peter, as he was. Simon Peter was that kind of man. He was built not on a rock, but on shifting quicksand. Remember Simon Peter when Jesus predicted his death in the 16th chapter of Matthew? Lord, he said, you're not going to die on a cross. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. What a rebuke. At that time, Peter was not a stone. He was not a rock. And then on the time of the trial of Jesus, when he mingled with the enemies of Jesus, and a little Jewish girl points at Peter and said, you're one of his disciples. He said, I don't know him. For all 3 years after Peter met Jesus, he was not a stone, but Jesus said, that's the change that's going to happen in your heart, Simon Peter. You're going to become a rock, a solid rock. That's what the Lord does in a man's life when that man comes to understand the gospel. Why did it take so long for Peter to become the rock? Because it wasn't until the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, that he really understood security in Christ. Simon Peter, you're going to be a rock. And we go into the book of Acts and we see Peter standing before the Jewish Sanhedrin defending the name and the gospel of Christ. He's a different man. What I want to say this morning, folks, when you look at Peter, you see the change that took place in his life. The Lord said, when you experience conversion and new birth, when you come to understand the saving gospel of Christ, when you know that the Holy Spirit's come to live in your life, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it makes you to be a stone, a rock. It's not a personal attribute. It comes as a result of actually understanding Jesus, understanding the gospel. So Nathanael became a Jesus believer. Philip became a Jesus follower. And Simon Peter became a Jesus rock, a Jesus stone. And Andrew, the fourth one in the story, became a Jesus evangelist. He became a Jesus evangelist. Just look at verse 40 again. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You should be called Cephas, which is translated the rock. I think this is one of the most simple, clear examples of evangelism found anywhere in the Bible. Let me put it in these words. He brought him to Jesus. Friends, that's evangelism. You see, Andrew's new faith is described there. He comes himself to become a believer, and he said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. He became convinced that Jesus is his Savior. And then he went to his brother, and he made that generous offer of the gospel. That's what you and I are doing day after day, talking to people for whom Jesus died and saying to them, come and see. That's what our life is about, one day at a time. to tell unsaved people, just come and see Jesus. Andrew was compelled by love. When he knew Christ, he was compelled by love to witness to his brother. I was talking with a man on Wednesday, been a friend of mine. He lives in Wausau, been a friend of mine for a lot of years. I was his pastor. He was telling me about an event that happened in that community not too long ago when a 30-year-old man struck a man on a motorcycle and it nearly cost the life of this friend on the motorcycle. He was severely injured, of course, rushed to the hospital, and he did survive. But the man who ran into him went away. He didn't stop to help. And so when they found him, they put him in jail in Wausau. My friend who was talking to me Wednesday said, you know, Pastor, even though the man who was struck down was his personal friend, he said, first of all, I wanted to find the man who struck him down and just smash him in the face. That was my own impulse. But he said, the Holy Spirit began to stir my heart for that man, that he's a lost man. He needs to be saved. And so God just, in a powerful way, convinced me that I should go and talk to that man in jail. And so finally he was able to make that arrangement. And he went to the jail to talk with the man. He sat on one side of the glass. The man was on the other side of the glass. And when he witnessed to the man about Jesus and told him how he needed Jesus as his Savior, and that man in prison, in jail, became a believer. And now he's in prison. For how long, I don't know. But he became a believer, and his heart is on fire for Christ. That's the kind of love that Andrew had. Andrew loved his brother Peter. And he wanted Peter to come to Christ to be saved. I just want to point out today, friends, in this sermon, it's just a down-to-earth example of the change that happens in someone's heart, spirit, when you're converted to Christ. And I hope today, as we look at that, we see that, Lord, that's happened in me. I've also become a Jesus believer, and I'm a Jesus follower, and I'm a Jesus stone. My stability is Jesus, and I'm a Jesus evangelist. I just have a longing to help other people come to know Christ. And how does someone become converted? That's the bottom line. These four men became converted, became apostles of Christ. How does someone become converted? Behold the Lamb of God. Come and see. When you come to see Jesus, take a hold of the gospel of the fact that he died for you on the cross, was buried, and rose again. You experience that change. Let's bow in a prayer, please, right now. Father, we've come here today with a longing in our heart, Father, for you. I'm just so thankful, even as Dr. Jim was saying today, though you're incomprehensible, Father, I'm so thankful that you've revealed yourself to us through the Word, the written Word, and through Jesus. And Father, we long for everyone in this place today to be able to look at the Word and just give thanks. Father, thank you for my conversion, my new birth, and the change, the supernatural change. Father, thanks so much for your grace and your patience. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.